James 1, verses 17 and 18, hear the word of God. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Let's pray and ask God to bless his word to us. Father, we thank you for this portion of your inspired, inerrant, infallible word. We pray that by your Spirit you would bless it to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look at this passage, I don't want to divorce it entirely from its context in the book of James. The book of James is a book which is an eminently practical book. It's a book in which about which there has been confusion because of its emphasis on the importance of good works. Now, in emphasizing good works, he is not emphasizing works over against faith, as some people take it from the second chapter, the second half of that chapter, verses 14 through 26, which talks about faith without works being dead. But he emphasizes that true and saving faith will be a faith that responds to God in love and obedience. And so there's that kind of context for this. But these verses actually are supportive not only of the work of giving thanks without directly commanding it, but supportive of faith, because they point us in the direction of some of the things that we should believe by faith. One of my favorite sermon illustration stories that I'm sure you all have heard multiple times comes from the movie Shenandoah, where the Jimmy Stewart character, who is the head of a family, and his wife, who had already died, had been a Christian, and she had extracted from him before she died the promise that they would have prayers before meals. And so they had had a good harvest. They had a big farm. They had had a good harvest, and things were going well on the farm, and they sat down for the meal. And we only see this happen the one time. They don't give us every meal. But at this meal that they sit down to, he basically says, God, we planted it, we hoed it, we harvested it, we cooked it, and now we're going to eat it. Amen. No consciousness of being thankful to God, because no consciousness of what God had done for them to be able to eat that. What he saw for them to be able to eat it was what they had done, the hard work that they put into it. Now, that's an example of walking by sight, not by faith. As Christians, we're called to walk by faith, not by sight. But you see, he wasn't thankful because all he could see was what he did and not what God had done. That requires faith to see. And so these verses tell us first that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, which is to say that all of the good things that we have come from God. That includes the things that we worked for. All of the good things that we have come from God. We live in a country that is greatly blessed. Now, please understand, I mean that literally. God has greatly blessed our country. It's not just that our country is fortunate and has a lot of good things. Now, our country has been greatly blessed by God, and so we have all sorts of blessings that we partake of in this land. In common, we don't have to deal with poverty in our own lives, with the lack of food, with the lack of shelter, with the lack of clothing. Instead, those things, having so much available of those things, is sometimes a temptation for us. And because everybody around us seems to have, it's hard for us to always keep in mind that what we have from God. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father. And so that's really, in a sense, the first thing that we observe from this text, that all of the good things we have in life are things that come from God. But the second thing that we see as that passage goes on, as that verse goes on, is that God is called the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. And the idea here is that the God who has blessed us, and the God that we read about in the Bible, is a God that never changes. He never changes. Which is, from a covenantal or even just a practical perspective in our lives, which is that God Himself is faithful. We can count God. If God has made promises to us, and He has, then these are promises that He keeps and that we can count on. So that not only are all of our good blessings from Him, He who has given us so many promises is faithful to all of them. He never changes. He will do what He has said He will do, so we can trust Him. That's the second thing, that God never changes and we can trust Him because He's faithful. The third thing is that redemption is God's gift. And that's in verse 18. Of His own will He brought us forth by the word of truth. Now, that bringing us forth idea can be meant two different ways in Scripture generally. One is we're born by that, but we weren't born by the word of truth. So the bringing us forth here is that other birth, that new birth. Our conversions are by God. We are brought forth into spiritual life by the word of truth, by His word, by the Scriptures, by the gospel. Now, I want to move down to the next part and then make two of these points kind of together. Of His own will He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Now, if you look in the Bible and just kind of trace the idea of first fruits, and we're not going through a list of verses here, but if you do that, you find out that the idea of first fruits is an idea of blessing and even greatest blessings. The first fruits, really, in this context and most contexts, point to the idea of the greatest blessing. In other words, redemption, by which we become a kind of first fruits of God's creatures, redemption is God's chief good gift to us as people. We've got a lot of good gifts. We've got a lot of things to be thankful for. Every one of you has a lot to be thankful for. But there is nothing for which we should be more thankful than for the gift of redemption in God's Son, Jesus Christ. That is our great blessing, is that. So we see that redemption, is God's gift, but also that it is His greatest gift, and that it is by God through the Word of truth. He brought us forth. It's by God. It's His work. It's His action. Now, if it was bad for the Jimmy Stewart character in the movie Shenandoah to think that he had done it all, he and his family had done it all for the meal that they were about to eat, how bad is it, how much worse is it, if we think that our Christianity is because of us and what we've done? It is the work of God. To this group, I can say this is a Calvinistic passage because it points to God's sovereign initiative. Of His own will, He brought us forth. Of His will. Not something He owed us, not something we earned, but of His own will, He brought us forth. By the Word of truth, by the Gospel, by His own revelation in the Scriptures. God has done all of that. And so, by way of application, we are to thank God. It all comes from Him. The response to that is to thank God, to recognize that it all comes from Him, and to say thank you to Him. We're to thank Him for all His blessings, the blessing of creating the world that we live in and the universe, the blessings of providence, and the Bible, our Westminster standards, even the catechisms, distinguish between God's work of creation, His making all things, and His work of providence. Now, His work of providence includes basically the controlling of all things. And it includes specifically, in the word providence, the idea of God's providing for us. He's done that so abundantly. All of that we thank God for. We're to thank God for all of His promises. He has a plan. He's faithful to His plan. He's unchanging with regard to His plan. He has made promises that lay out for us something of what His plan is. And we're to be thankful for that plan, especially as it includes redemption, and for all His promises. And then we're to be thankful to the God who has made these promises for His faithfulness, that we can count on Him for the fulfillment of all of His promises toward us. We're to be thankful for Scripture truth, because it is the Word of truth, or Scripture truth, by which we are brought forth to salvation. So by way of application, we should be thankful for the Gospel and all the truths and all the teaching of Scripture. We should be thankful that God has revealed these truths. We should be thankful to God that by His grace and blessings and providence, we are taught these truths. We should be thankful for the preaching of the Word of God because it presents these truths to us. And then, of course, by way of application, thank God for salvation and redemption, for forgiveness, for all of the things that flow from that, our fellowship with God and with one another, for the promise of eternal life, for God's being our Father over us day by day, and we can come to Him. So here's a verse that really points us in all of, two verses that point us in the direction of all those things is application on a day of thanksgiving. Let's pray and thank God briefly for these things. Our Father, we do give You thanks for Your Word, for the way it reveals the good news of redemption in Jesus Christ, for the way that it reveals Your nature as an unchanging God who is faithful to all Your promises, for the way Your Word reveals to us those promises themselves, for the way that in the application of Your blessing to us, we have been the recipients of the blessings of those promises in Your good providence, that You provide. food and clothing and shelter and so much more for us. You provided friends and fellowship and relatives for us. You have provided for us the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and the promise of eternal life. Lord, you are faithful to all your promises. You are the source of every good thing that we have. We give you praise and thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.
Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians 2:20 is a verse that I have written out and posted by my desk, and it's been there for years. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Who loved me and gave himself for me. In prayer, let's go to the Lord and thank him for his grace and mercy to us in Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, we come to you with thanks in our hearts and thanks on our lips. And we praise you, O God, for as you announced yourself to Moses, you are gracious and merciful, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth. And so, Lord, we do thank you, and you deserve to be greatly thanked for your amazing grace and your great mercy to us in Jesus Christ, in spite of the fact, O Lord, that we were sinners who frequently and grievously offended your holiness. We confess, O God, that we have original sin from Adam, that we were conceived and born in sin, that all kinds of evil desires have been within us. We, O Lord, so frequently violate your commandments. We do things we shouldn't do. We don't do the things that we should do. All we like sheep have gone astray. Every one of us has turned to his own way. O Lord, as the prodigal son said when he came back to his father, we don't deserve to be called your children. We don't deserve to lift our eyes up to you in prayer even, except in the precious name of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, O Lord, that your mercy is so great. And so we take courage to call upon you from the depths of our hearts, trusting in our mediator, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, who loved us and gave himself for us. And so we ask, Lord, and we thank you for your mercy, for having washed us in his blood so that we might become clean, so that we might be white as snow, so that you've covered our nakedness with your righteousness, this clothing, this white garment. We ask, O Lord, and we thank you that in you there is mercy. With you there is plenteous redemption. Now, Father, we thank you that you have showered so many blessings upon us in the spiritual realm. We can't even comprehend all of them, much less try to make a list of all of them. Our souls, O Lord, do bless you. All that is within you does bless your holy name. We remember all of your benefits. O Lord, we thank you for the scripture that's been read to us in Galatians, but also in James and elsewhere, the great promises of the gospel. You've given us, O Lord, the light of your truth, the knowledge of salvation in this book, which is able to make us wise unto salvation. Thank you, Lord, that we can search the scriptures. Thank you that in them we find eternal life because they testify of Christ. We thank you, Lord, that the scripture is inspired, infallible, inerrant, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. And in this scripture, O Lord, we see our Savior. We come to know him, the one whom you sent because you so loved the world that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The one who gave himself for our sins, the one who loved us and gave himself for us. Lord, we just can't get over this. How amazing is your grace and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for faith, which is a gift, not of ourselves, it is your gift, that we can turn away from ourselves, turn toward Jesus Christ, focus our eyes upon him, wholly rely and depend and trust upon him alone, for salvation from sin. Grant, O Lord, that in our daily lives, how we act, what we say, what we do, how we think, that we would be crucified with Christ, so that the life we live in the flesh, we might live by faith in this very Son of God. And thank you, Lord, too, for the gift of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling Holy Spirit, who helps us understand what is your will. Thank you, Lord, that you fill us with this Spirit, so that we can speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in our hearts to you, O Lord, giving thanks always for all things to you, God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you because you hear our prayers. You've heard the voice of our supplications. You've inclined your ear to us. Therefore, O Lord, we call upon you as long as we live. We thank you for the great promises of the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy in giving us a crown of life, an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away, that is reserved in heaven for us. And most of all, Lord, we thank you for the high honor, the great privilege of knowing you, of being known by you. You, O Lord, are the portion of our inheritance. The lines, yes, have fallen to us in pleasant places. We have a goodly heritage. You, O Lord, prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. You anoint our heads with oil. Our cup runs over. And on this Thanksgiving Day, Lord, we thank you again for your amazing grace and your great mercy to us. Whom have we in heaven but you? There is no one, nothing upon earth that we desire beside you. And so, Lord, be the strength of our heart. Be our portion forever. We thank you, O Lord, for your great faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. Your mercies are new every morning. Your promises are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. Your steadfast love endures forever. So thank you, Lord, for your grace, for your mercy, for the comfort that we have, that in life and in death, body and soul, we belong not to ourselves but to a faithful Savior who has fully redeemed us from sin, from the devil, and preserves us for eternal life. What, O Lord, can we render to you for all your benefits divine? O Lord, we take the cup of salvation. We call on your name. We say that the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His grace is amazing. And his truth endures through all generations. We bless your name, O Lord, at all times. And we thank you, the one who does all things for his people for the sake of his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Be looking at Ephesians 4, if you want to follow along. When we think of Christ's church, we might think that we should be here, we should gather. We could think of the verse in Hebrews that tells us that we should not forsake the gathering together. But realize that the church is more than just an institution to be part of. It is us, Christ's people, gathered under his head together to worship God and to grow. And this is really what this passage in Ephesians gets to. We'll be looking at Ephesians 4, 4 through 7, then I'll skip up to 11. There's kind of a sub-comment that would, to keep the context of what we're looking at this morning, we'll skip over. But 4 through 7, then 11 through 16, I'll read. Again, this is God's Word. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gifts. In verse 11, and he himself gave some to be apostles and prophets and evangelists, some pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now, that's a mouthful and kind of a tall order, but we see the real blessing of the church here. God has given us each other to help us to grow in knowledge of him, to grow in truth, to avoid error, to be edified and built up. And it's a wonderful blessing that God has given us, not selfish gifts, but ones that we are to use in the context of the church, but for each other, to help each other, and to do this also in love. And that is something to be greatly thankful for and to think about what our role may be within the church as well. But also, just to touch back on that verse in Hebrews, you don't have to turn there, but it's interesting that that command that we're given is actually preface or in the context of basically the same idea that we see here in Ephesians. And I'll read it starting from 10:24-25. But it is this, and think about how this maps in with Ephesians. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So it's not just a mere command to us, but there's a context to that. And it's the same that we see in Ephesians, that we are to gather together as the church, as the body, to help one another, to edify and build up one another. And we should be always thankful of that blessing that God has given us. And now if you'd pray with me. Father, we are thankful for the church you have given us, this body to be part of, each local congregation that we have. You have ordained this means throughout this time to provide us this growth and fellowship, and help us to not forsake the gathering together like this, not again as mere command, but where we can build one another up and be built up, to enjoy that fellowship from one another, that grace we give from one another, the way we can be involved with each other, how we can talk with each other, build up each other, share our gifts, edify one another, and all of that in you with the focus on glorifying you in the church and in our lives. We also ask that you would use Providence here to further your kingdom in the Pflugerville and Greater Austin area, and maybe even beyond, as you build up this congregation and help us to see how we can best use the gifts that you've given us and even to identify what those gifts are. But we ask, too, that you preserve your truth, your word through the church. We're grateful for that as well. We ask, too, for your preservation of the church itself. Especially we lift up those that are involved in persecution around this world. Many churches and many believers throughout this world are struggling in many places, being very directly physically harmed and persecuted. And we just lift them up as well and ask for your preservation for your church there also. But again, we do thank you for the church that you've given us, for this blessing. And we ask that you use the church and one another in each of our lives to, again, help us to grow in that grace and knowledge of you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We'll be looking at a passage from Luke. Luke
22 through 34. This is the word of God. And he, Jesus, said to his disciples, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. How much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows you need all these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourself money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches, nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Please pray with me. O Lord, we gather this day to give thanks. We do not gather simply because we are happy and feel good about what we have. We do not gather to mouth words of thanks with no thought to whom we are actually thanking. We do not say we have been blessed without acknowledging who it is that gives us the blessings. Our nation has set aside this special day to give you thanks. But as a nation, we have largely forgotten you. And in many quarters, we have forgotten why this day was set aside. And yet there are many who have not forgotten, who will gather this day around thousands upon thousands of tables, directing their thanks to you, Father. So do we gather now in preparation as we look to you and reflect upon the bounty you have poured out and the provisions you have bestowed upon us. Gracious Father, we join those whom you have called to be your special people throughout this land to direct our thanksgiving to our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Father, we often get confused between our wants and our needs. You have said that you will provide for our needs. And we take you at your word, because your word is true and right. The things that we don't think about often, our very breath, our next heartbeat, the protection that you've given us on the roads, traveling to here and from here, as we sleep at night, you have watched over us, even when we confess that we have not any thought of you. You have been faithful to us and provided for our needs. Father God, we are reminded of your provisions for our very congregation this past year. You have brought many who have remained and become a part of this body. You have provided us with funds to meet and exceed our budget. You have provided jobs for people who have been without employment, and you have used us to come alongside and encourage those who are still looking for work. You have answered our prayers for the moms who have delivered healthy babies into our fellowship as covenant children. You have blessed us with the sound preaching of your word from this very pulpit and provided men to serve as deacons and elders. You have given us talented people who desire to serve you and minister to the body through music in our nursery, by teaching and hospitality on our sound system, by greeting, by working on our grounds, and many other areas. You have grown us to be a body of believers that love Christ and love one another. Lord, there are so many ways you have blessed this small body that we could collectively thank you for hours. But most of all, you have continued the work that you started in us when we first loved Christ. And you have given us the greatest provision of all, of reconciling us to you through his atonement on our behalf. For all this, Father, we do humbly give you praise and our thanksgiving. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Good morning. We, of course, in a minute we'll thank God for our family and friends, but I want to take a moment to thank you, each of you, for being my friend. I feel like I've got some really good friends out there, and I truly appreciate you. I feel like it's not easy being my friend. I'm not a very likable person, but many of you have loved me, so thank you for that. I'd like to ask a question, and that is, what is a good friend? What is a good friend? And the answer is the person who loves your soul. If you want to be a good friend, you love someone's soul. And Jesus, of course, is the perfect friend, the supreme friend, and that's why he's referred to as the lover of our souls, which actually gives us a further definition of a good friend. A good friend is someone who leads you or draws you to Jesus. And a bad friend is someone who leads you or draws you away from Jesus. And that also can be applied to family life. You know, it's not just people that you're not related to that can love your soul and that can lead you to Christ or lead you away from Christ. And as I was thinking about this morning, I thought about the fact that a lot of children would think that it's dad's job to lead to Christ. But in fact, children can lead dads to Christ. I mean, in the sense that we all need help. We all need reminders. We all need, there's times where we're ebbing and we're low. And our son, who we're supposed to be the leader of, can actually lead us or draw us to Christ. Can say, hey, Dad, let's read the Bible this morning, or let's pray. So we all have these opportunities. That you don't have to be the dad in the family, for example. Well, let's pray to God right now and thank him for our family and our friends. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we exalt you and praise you because you are the perfect Father. For those who you have set your love upon, you have perfect unconditional love, and you are the perfect Father, the perfect example, and the perfect lover of our souls. And your Son, Jesus Christ, is the perfect brother and the perfect friend. And so we praise you for who you are, for your love for us, and for the abundance of love that you have, that you are love itself. We want to confess that, first of all, we take for granted our family and our friends. We we're very ungrateful, and so we confess our ingratitude, and we confess our selfish approach to our relationships. Each of us are related in so many ways to so many people, and we continuously look for what's in it for us instead of what we can be giving to that other person. And lastly, we confess our sins against those people that you've placed in our lives that are close to us, and we've sinned against them repeatedly. And we confess these sins to you. And of course, in offending them and sinning against them, we sin against you, and we confess that, and we ask for forgiveness. I want to thank you, Lord, for, first of all, creating us in your image. You created us for fellowship. You created us like yourself, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, eternally sharing a relationship of love, and you've created us for that, to share love with one another. And that's something that causes us each a lot of pain sometimes, but it also causes us joy that's cannot be compared to any other joy in our lives. Because that's fundamentally what we were created for, was fellowship. And that's something that is beyond our imagination, that you could actually create us in your image, and you have done that. And so we thank you for that. We thank you for covenant families. We thank you that you have placed most of us from our birth in a family that is covenanted to have faith in you and to trust in you and to obey you, and to raise each of us as children up into the true faith of Jesus Christ and the gospel and the Holy Spirit and the Bible and church and all the things that we believe in, because we were raised as covenant children. And we thank you for the covenant families that are here today who have little children, who are teaching their children and have brought their children to be baptized and bring their children to church and Sunday school regularly. We thank you for their faithfulness, and we thank you for covenant families. We thank you for companionship. We thank you for those in our lives who we share interests with, and we laugh with, and we enjoy time with. We thank you for wives and husbands. We thank you, those of us who are married to wives, we thank you for their help to us. We thank you for their support, and when they build us up and encourage us. For the wives here whose husbands they are thankful for, we thank you that there are men who protect their wives and sacrifice and are gentle with them. We just thank you for those husbands and wives, and we also thank you for children. We thank you that you created babies to be cute, and we thank you that you created mothers with such a powerful, unimaginable love for their children, that they can sacrifice so much to raise them, especially when they're tiny. And so we thank you for children, and we thank you as they grow, as we get older. We thank you for how they can help us and support us, and also that they give us pride and that we're proud of them. And we thank you for parents. We thank you that you've put parents in our lives. We thank you for our parents, and we thank you for the parents here today. Lord, we ask that you would strengthen our families, and that you would, all of us, strengthen our friendships and draw us all closer to Jesus Christ, but also impress upon us the need that we would draw people around us, our friends and our family, to Jesus Christ, the lover of our soul. In Jesus' name, amen.